This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and the First Lady getting a firsthand look today at the damage in Texas following last week's flash flooding. At a briefing, the president credited local and state officials. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
The president heaping praise on Texas Governor Abbott, and he had also spent the day earlier touring the damage, and the president saying that he had never seen anything like that, nothing like the scale of the destruction that he saw in Texas. The president also acknowledged that this is a time where the community, where the nation is mourning. He talked about visiting some of the grieving families and saying that this is to honor those whose lives were lost.
At least 121 have died and 160 others are still missing. The State Department today laid off nearly 1,300 civil workers and 240 service officers based in the U.S. Word today, David Gergen has died. The veteran Washington inside figure served as a top advisor to presidents of both parties. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It was a busy La Crosse Common Council meeting Thursday. The council approved a development agreement for the former La Crosse Tribune building site to add 260 housing units and commercial space. Also approved was a measure to pay $115,000 for park and public space security on weekends, and another item to set aside $50,000 for legal fees related to the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition. Airport operating budget items and a measure to replace the La Crosse Center roof were also approved. La Crosse's Pathways Home program is receiving funding from a state grant. $350,000 was awarded to Pathways Home to hire a social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. The La Crosse County Board still has to approve the funding, which should run through 2027. The La Crosse Common Council, meanwhile, is delaying a decision for the Pathways Home Leases program due to a need for more landlords to join the initiative. They'll take it up again at August's meeting. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is increasing undergraduate tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents unanimously approved the increases. UW La Crosse is moving forward with plans to finish work on the Prairie Springs Science Center. The announcement this week came after $194 million was included in the state's biennial budget for the project. With the additional funding, UWL will add 30 new rooms, including classrooms and labs, to the Science Center. About half of UWL's student body is pursuing a degree in science, according to Chancellor James Beebe. All four of La Crosse's Democratic legislative members voted to approve the biennial budget last week. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A buzzer beater for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The NBA Summer League kicked off last night in Las Vegas. Teams getting a look at some of their youngest players. Milwaukee against Denver, down by two. Andre Jackson Jr. with a pass to the Bucks' Jamari Bouye, who moved to the right behind the three-point line on ESPN.
Jackson to inbound. He finds Bouye. Liddell all over him. The step over. He gets it up.
The Bucks over the Nuggets, 90-89. GM John Horst and Doc Rivers to introduce Miles Turner to the media, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, the Brewers against the last place Nationals. The crew now just two games behind the Cubs, who beat the Twins yesterday 8-1, avoiding the sweep in Minnesota. Pete Crow Armstrong with two home runs, and former Brewer pitcher Colin Ray allowing just one run in seven innings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and some storms this afternoon and throughout this evening. Some could bring some gusty winds and heavy downpours. Around a half an inch of rain is likely, but a couple of inches is possible, which could create some flash flooding. Highs will be in the low 80s today and tomorrow, and the mid-80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life.
I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Alba Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for The Todd Alba Show.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think it speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us.
And TGIF, it is 5 o'clock. I hope you are cracking an adult beverage somewhere, whatever your preferred beverage is to quaff on a steamy Friday afternoon. I'll be heading to the ballpark this evening with a bunch of friends to watch the Brewers take on the Nationals. I hope you got your texts in last hour in the free Ticket Friday giveaways that we've got here throughout the summer here on Civic Media Radio Network. If you missed out on your chance this past hour, don't worry. We'll be doing it again next Friday. Some breaking news right at the top of the hour. There are reports coming from Eyewitness News, an NBC affiliate out of New York, that armed ICE agents apparently raided a baseball practice in New York, a kids' baseball practice in New York, and tried to begin to interrogate kids playing baseball who are, according to their coach, all American citizens. When the coach tried to intervene, asserting their, quote, constitutional rights, apparently the coach was then harassed and threatened with arrest. Again, that is just breaking news. I'm not sure if all those details are correct. Reports just coming in this afternoon about this. Oh, it is distressing. I'm so glad to have you here. We got my colleague from the northern parts of the state, Greg Gunderson, here for this installment of What's Going On in Your Neck of the Woods. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Greg.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for having me. So glad to be here. And I'm afraid all of this wonderful news reaches the Northwoods. So right now what's going on in the Northwoods is anxiety. But I've got some fun stuff that I can bring you to. But yeah, I was just looking at news. The Borders Bar confirms that anybody can be detained without probable cause for reasons including appearance. Now,
yes.
So
and Gray, I'm just
that's not scary at all.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you to turn your camera off because you're glitching just a little bit. And hopefully if we go all audio, we won't have Gray glitching. And if you continue to do that and Jacob or I boot you from the show, just give us a call on the old, you know, the traditional phone lines. Gray, I wanted you here today to ask you what your impressions are. And we're working to get Gray back right now to talk with Gray about what his impressions of his fellow Northwoodsers' opinions of both the state's biennial budget, as well as, of course, the big, brutal bill. With rural hospitals on the chopping block, with general practitioner care at risk in more rural communities, are folks that live in and around where Gray lives concerned about those things? I think it's really critical. In addition, the key of agricultural and manufacturing, those two massive keys to Wisconsin's economy, are folks expressing anxiety about Donald Trump's renewed tariff wars. Again, we haven't seen the full weight of those tariffs yet brought to bear here in Wisconsin. Are people feeling anxiety about that? I believe we've got Gray on the phone lines now. Welcome back, Gray. I wanted to start with what folks in your neck of the woods are saying about both the big brutal bill and the biennial budget. Let's start with the big brutal bill. Some of the people that we've had on over the past few weeks and months in the lead up to this single largest wealth transfer from working people to the billionaire and 100 billionaire and mega corporation class in America's history, people have expressed particular concerns over whether or not, you know, folks are going to be, if nursing homes are going to remain open in rural communities, if hospitals are going to remain open in rural communities, if folks are going to be able to access health care. What have you been hearing, Gray, in your neck of the woods from people about the big brutal bill? Any concerns, all gung-ho, or a mixed bag?
We're all gung-ho. And just real quickly, Maggie, can you guys hear me all right now?
Yes, you're good to go.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm afraid, as one might expect, it is a certain level of all gung-ho simply because I really don't want to knock people in the way it sounds like I am. So please be clear that I'm picking my words specifically. I think that people were very prepared for this, as in the Trump administration prepared people for a move like this and for people to take it on faith. Why? Because there are very real implications for all kinds of services in our area, but that's not the basis of the response. The basis of the response is Donald Trump did it again, and the liberals are still sad, crying. You check the liberal tears. If it's raining liberal tears, then we're winning. And that's generally the limit of it.
Gray, I'm curious because at some point in time, like the rhetoric and the liberal tears, don't fill anybody's belly, right? That doesn't get you health care. It doesn't lead to real wage increases. It just feels good because you're, you know, flipping the metaphoric bird to people you think you don't like and don't have much in common with.
Right.
Is there any concern with real world impacts? Is anybody talking about that?
Not quite yet, but I'm seeing more frequency in the level of concern. I'm not seeing people generally getting more anxious about this, but as more services are affected, you're seeing a couple quiet voices get a little bit louder. It's just so indirect. There's no unification. I mean, yes, there are absolutely 150 people in this 10,000 person county who are affected, and they could make change about that. But they are not unified. They are not organized. They are not standing together as a group saying, hey, we are the ones. And so without that visibility, it's easy for me as a normal person here in Price County, Wisconsin, to pretend there are no ones. There's nobody here who's, you know, I'm checking, I'm holding my litmus paper up to, and it's blue, baby. I'm good because I'm not going into the spaces where I would entertain that kind of conversation in the first place. So, yes, if I'm the average citizen, I'm concerned. I may be thinking about those sorts of things, but I'm not interested in checking any of the places I'd actually see evidence of issues. But I will say, as somebody up here, as
if I can, current, can I just jump? Yeah, let me just jump in here, Gray, a bit. Are you saying that people are sort of self-selecting into environments where they don't hear contrary opinions or folks expressing things that don't align with what their presupposed view is or their current view? Is that basically what you're saying?
Generally, yeah. Basically, it's that we don't check the details because what we think is happening must be happening.
Yeah, and Gray, I'm curious about that because again, like both things can't be true, right? Derek Van Orten says nobody who is eligible for Medicaid is going to lose Medicaid, but we know that people who are eligible for Medicaid are going to lose their healthcare coverage because of the cuts to Medicaid. Because of the nearly $1 trillion reduction in funding that was directed by the big brutal bill, there will be fewer rural hospitals. These are just facts. That's how math works. My curiosity is that, do you hear any scintilla of, well, I'm going to be saying these things, or are you getting any sort of sensibility, Gray, that people will continue to defend their long-held, say, support of Donald Trump, or their long-held beliefs, or that they may put out there that, yep, we think this is going to go really well, but folks might be, you know, doing a little bit more homework, right? That they might be poking around on the internet just a little bit more.
Because I kind of believe so. You see it, but again, they're not unified. So it just, what?
Who's the they? They're not unified. When you say they, I don't know who you mean. Who's not unified?
So, like a theoretical small towner here who might have their opinion changed because to them, that's probably the best way to explain it. The cynical changed mind, or the theoretical person who's being affected in a way that would change minds. You know, it's not every member of the group that goes to golf on Saturday that's bringing the same thing to the discussion. But there's a couple people scattered about, may or may not be affected. And forgive me, it's a collection of just little snippets, tidbits here and there. But it's just that I've heard it mentioned more than before, and it's just that there's not.
Heard what mentioned more than before? I'm going to push you here, Gray, because are you saying that more individuals within their groups of friends are expressing some bit of doubt? Again, try to be as specific as you can so folks can understand, are these discussions happening and they're just, I don't know, sort of burgeoning and growing? Who are you speaking about?
I think it's fair to say that there are probably more questions being asked than statements being made. But again, I don't place myself in these circles directly. I don't spend most of my time in that way. But in looking at this, I found that there's more openness. I guess I have no hard fact that I can bring you. So really, it's just I don't know. It doesn't feel the same up here, Maggie. That might be the most that I can tell you. And I feel like my Facebook posts that used to get me those looks don't anymore. You know, there's a general trend that, yeah, there might actually be some people who might actually be pissed at the guy they loved before. Has anybody come out and said, hey, I'm with you, and I wasn't? No, but at the same time, there's, I don't know, it'd be a feeling from some fool who does too much radio, but I don't see it.
Well, that's the vibe. To me, I think when you start to have the sixth sense that people who know your politics may not be quite as angry at you as they used to be, that's part of the vibe check. That's part of the barometer. Let's talk a little bit about something that's not politics, Gray. Tell folks the Lumberjack World Championships are up in Hayward starting next Wednesday. What should people know?
That's something I can actually speak to quite confidently, Maggie. We're talking trees here. And actually, the Hayward Lumberjack Championships, like I put in the notes, if you want to see one of the most ridiculous displays of athleticism, mostly unchanged from the alcohol-fueled wagers that absolutely were its origin, kind of similar to the Berkey and to Muskie Fest, check out the Lumberjack Championships. They start next Wednesday in Hayward. Tie some spikes to your shoes and climb a tree as fast as you can. It's way faster than you think. Okay, now what if you want to climb it with no spikes, but you've got an axe and a board? How do you use a board to climb a tree? That's a question that you'll answer more enthusiastically than you could ever believe. I mean, like, you're wedging the board in notches that you chop as you climb.
So I was going to say, having not seen that, right, I would assume axe to tree, insert board, step on board, whack with axe, and you kind of, like, go around the tree almost in a spiral pattern. That's the only way I could noodle out how to do that.
You, Maggie, I'm afraid you almost sound like we sandbagged that one. You kind of described it perfectly. So I hope you feel some validation there. You would make an excellent improvisational springboard climber, or at least in theory.
Listen, with my knees and ankles and hips with all the sports injuries. I'm going to keep my 2 feet planted firmly here on the ground. Thanks so much to Greg Gunderson for this week's installment of Your Neck of the Woods. Keep it locked when we come back. We're going to kick off this Friday's Ask Maggie. You can ask me, gosh darn well near anything you want. Put in your questions now, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with Ask Maggie right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a 3-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday to one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we've had some vacations. We had the July 4th holiday, and it's been a while since we've done a bit of Ask Maggie. Ask Maggie is a segment we have usually every Friday where you, the listeners, get to email in or text in any question you've got for me. You can email those at any time to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also use that email address for topic suggestions, complaints, and the rare compliment. We'll take them there as well. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also text in questions at 855-752-4842. My senior producer, Jamie, curates these, and I have no idea what I'm going to be asked, which is half the fun. The other half of the fun, aside from whether or not I actually give a good answer, is that Jamie will put me on a timer, because y'all know I like to talk. So we put me on a timer, and I try to constrain my answers to the allotted amount of time with varying degrees of success. Welcome back to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, and happy Friday. Now, happy Friday. Feels like we haven't done this segment for a really long time, but you and I talk so often that we were just talking earlier today. So, yes, it is what it is.
You and I, yes, probably.
We do a lot of planning.
probably more than anyone in our lives wants us to. You and I are on the horn all day long, every day. So it is with live broadcasts. That's
we try to take a break. We try to take a break. And then on the rare occasion, like last night when I had to call you, I was like, oh, I don't want to bother because, oh, we've had like all these conversations. So we try to take a break. I do have to say though, do you know what my favorite part about Ask Maggie is when I curate the list? Like you say, I so eloquently do. And really, it's just a flurry at the very, like at 3:30 going, oh my gosh, I have this segment today because I've been working so hard on everything else. That's what we'll go with. I can always tell the mood of people based on
the kind of questions
that we're getting in. Yeah. So this week, there seems to be a little bit of angst just because of everything going on. And rightly so. I'm not saying that we're wrong in those emotions or right in those emotions. I can always just kind of tell as I put this list together. So that's my big takeaway. That's all I got for a Friday. That's the most intelligent thing you're going to hear me say today.
Well, Jamie's got, you've got a metaphoric finger in the air of where people are at based on the sorts of questions that they're
Absolutely.
Asking. Again, you want to get your questions in 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Well, let's get her cranking, Jamie. You got some questions
Should
for me?
Should we play our intro? Should we play our intro? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, Jacob, when you're ready, hit that intro because it's my favorite part.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Or something like that. That's how that should end.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Sort of lightning speed, slower than lightning. We'll give it a good try.
We'll give it a good shot. Well, let's start out with Cam. You know, we love Cam. Cam, love you're fantastic.
Cam.
And we're going to help him out here today because he asked Maggie this question. Fish tacos or curry? His partner wants to know what's coming for dinner tonight. So we'll give you, I know you're a foodie. So let's give you 30 seconds on this because I'm sure there are opinions on tacos and curry. So whenever you're ready, Jacob, 30 seconds.
Is there a protein with the curry or is it just a curry? Do you have a rice maker or are you going to have to make the rice on the stovetop? Inquiring minds want to know, do you have a deep fryer? What kind of fish do you have? Was it fresh? Do you have to bone the fish? Cam, I can't answer the question with that limited set of information, but assuming all of the utensils and things and fresh fish, I think I'm going to have to go with a Friday fish taco because in Wisconsin, we like fish on Fridays.
I think that's an appropriate answer. It's like your version of the fish fry at home.
Summer version.
That's right. Serve up now, the old-fashioned with it. Now we're talking.
I have a little secret giveaway for Cam and his partner if they decide to go with the fish tacos. If you take a little bit of crema or sour cream and you add just a little bit of curry to it, it actually is an excellent topping on fish tacos. So in this way, Cam and your partner, you're going to get the best of both worlds. I'm going to go with C, both of the above. You make the curry sour cream, little dabble to you on the fish tacos, and then you got both curry and fish tacos. There you go.
Hopefully that helps him out. And he says it's tilapia, no bone. And rice maker
perfect.
And chicken. All right.
Perfect.
So I think we've got it figured out. You can make a little bit of everything and have a smorgasbord too. It's fine.
I love it. 855-752-4842. You can call or text in questions and email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I think we got time for at least one more.
I think so. We'll go another fun one because I see Jacob giving us the sign here that we've got to get to a break for in a moment. So we'll go with an easy one. We can do a 30-seconder on this one as well. This is coming to us from Robert in McFarland. Thank you for the question. He wants to know, Maggie, have you ever taken the Lakefront Brewery tour? And if so, how was it? 30 seconds for this one.
Schmeisel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Of course I've been on the Lakefront Brewery Tour. What kind of Milwaukeean would I be if I hadn't been on the Lakefront Tour? Probably more times than I care to admit. And of course the Laverne and Shirley reference is because they do have the beer line made famous from the introductory music and all that stuff from Laverne and Shirley, where she puts the little glove on the beer bottle and it swings on by. They've got that on the Lakefront tour. I also want to give a shout out to Lakefront because they have absolutely fabulous drag queen bingo nights, which are hilarious. I go to a bunch of them, especially in the winter months. Love me some Lakefront Brewery. River West Stein, delicious, delicious beverage from Lakefront. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. You can get yourself your adult beverage or other preferred thing to quaff for this last half hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. Ask Maggie continues, and we got Terry Barr coming up next.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Another candidate for governor has entered the fray. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Bill Barry, a Navy SEAL veteran and business leader, has entered the governor's contest. In his announcement, Barry said his campaign will focus on conservative principles, manufacturing revitalization, and opposition to the current governor's policies. He's the latest Republican to join the primary, alongside Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. Governor Evers hasn't yet said whether he plans to run again.
Voters are split on whether Governor Tony Evers should seek a third term. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The pollsters at Marquette Law School asked Wisconsin voters, do you think Evers should run for a third term? Charles Franklin, director of the poll.
42% say he should seek a third term. 55% say he should not. And 2% say they don't know. Again, a big partisan gap. 93% of Republicans no. 83% of Democrats yes. So that's 15% of Democrats saying no and 1% don't know. But among those independents, the 12% that are purely independent, it's 37% he should run, 50% not, 9% don't know.
Franklin says Evers has a good record among Wisconsinites.
31 polls, his net approval has been positive, and in just 4 polls, net approval negative. So it's a pretty strong record. He remains the most popular of the political figures in the state that we ask about.
Democrats are shooting for a trifecta, aiming to take both chambers of the legislature and ensure there's a Democrat in the governor's office next year. Wisconsin is one of 5 states that President Donald Trump won last year that has a Democratic governor and a gubernatorial election in 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The 2026 fall primary is 13 months away, with the gubernatorial election a year from November. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high near 80. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now it's 73.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Matinere Todd Alba Tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back, everybody. And happy Friday afternoon to you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're doing this Friday afternoon's installment of Ask Maggie. Feels like we've been on hiatus for quite some time. And to kick off this next segment, I'm actually going to ask Jamie something. Do you think we're going to have a Cash Patel, Dan Bongino resignation before we reconvene here on Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Now, I will say that reporters are trying to parse this out as I watch everything that's going on this afternoon. But it also looks like there is a potential that the White House may force out Bondi before they lose Patel and Bongino. Now, again, they're trying to parse that out, seeing if that there is any reality to those claims as of right now, because obviously there are a few people who are really unhappy. But a person who has spoken with the deputy FBI director says that Bongino is out of control, furious. This whole non-release of the Epstein files completely destroyed his career, and that he's threatening to quit and torch Pam unless she's fired. And there's also reports that Bongino is telling the administration that it's either him or Bondi at this point. I think Cash Patel is probably just sitting back and watching what's happening, if it's true that he also may step out because of the Epstein files. So
it's
we shall
Dan
see,
Bongino is such a incredible actor. And I mean that in all senses of the word, meaning the man's not credible. And what's been going on is incredible, hard to believe. This guy is a complete crackpot. He has major temper control issues. He's about as ill-suited to be deputy director of the FBI as a fish is to ride a bicycle. I don't understand this. If I was Donald Trump, right, what's the calculus here? Because you've got Pam Bondi. I think he may be harder pressed to find someone to become attorney general and get through a confirmation process. But man, if Cash and or Bongino are gone, I say good riddance. To me, those two are scarier actors than is Pam Bondi.
I
just think it's because of the unhingedness. It's because of they're also not even constrained by the de minimis lawyer ethics rules that Pam Bondi is. Speaking of which, there has been a lawyer's ethics complaint filed against Pam Bondi in the state of Florida. So that'll take some time to proceed. But these guys, their ability to lie and make stuff up knows no bounds. None at all.
It's amazing that podcasters turned, FBI directors are having a difficult time.
Who would have thought? Hard to predict when you've had absolutely nothing to. We've digressed off the Ask Maggie topic, but just with this additional breaking news.
These are important things that we're going to be watching over the weekend, because by Monday, this could be a completely different situation in the Trump administration. We have no idea. I mean, we've seen these little skirmishes in Trump version one. It's not so much so far in version two. We haven't seen a lot of that.
Of the people with any integrity refuse to have anything to do with them. So there's no one to stand up for anybody else. But it's coming to a head with the Epstein thing. I always wondered why the MAGAverse was so into Jeffrey Epstein and this entire weird line. It's like, this isn't just a Democratic problem or a Democratic Party problem. Donald Trump, there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of pictures of Donald Trump over the course of 20 plus years with Jeff Epstein. He was on his plane probably about as much as anybody else was, if not more. They hung out together. They were friends. Now Donald Trump acts like, I have no idea who Jeff who. His typical response. I mean, is anybody really surprised that the Attorney General under Donald Trump's direction and thumb is saying there's no there there when it comes to the Epstein files? Of course.
No.
From a reputational perspective, Bongino's whole angle was, I know all about Epstein and this is really bad. Well, the problem when you just make stuff up all the time, Dan, is that you might also be torturing your future boss. Nobody knows exactly what the relationship between Donald Trump and Jeff Epstein was, but fact, is there a picture with Donald Trump and a bunch of young women and Jeff Epstein? Yeah.
And Jeff Epstein on tape calling Donald Trump one of his closest friends for decades, right? So we have all of that. That is proof. And
they
have
financial dealings together. I mean, this is not at all new news. And again, I always wondered, like, what's your long game to the Bonginos and all these folks pounding the table for the Epstein files when Donald Trump has this well-documented history of being very close with Jeff Epstein? And the biggest thing that you know, Pam Bondi saying, there's nothing in the Epstein files, don't worry about it, it's just child porn. Part of that problem is that, you know, in certain corners of the internet, the video footage from Jeffrey Epstein's alleged suicide in Rikers Island is missing minutes, like the relevant minutes. Now, Pam Bondi this week at a cabinet meeting told reporters, oh, that's because the videotape, the system is old and it resets every day at around this time. We're looking to find the similar minutes that are missing it. Pam, are you really expecting people to believe?
Actually, I think she is.
Yeah, in that she is. In the coinky dink of coinky dinks, that the old timey video recording equipment just happens to go off at the 2 minutes during which Epstein is alleged to have hung himself. I mean, that's just a bridge too far. Again, some corners of the internet this afternoon alleging that metadata from those electronic recordings shows that it was stitched together, that there actually wasn't some initial recording problem, that it was edited after the fact. I mean, my goodness, Jamie, this is like, get your popcorn. If you didn't know what you were doing this weekend, just grab your popcorn and tune in to your favorite 24/7 newscast, because this is going to be an interesting one to spin.
This is better than anything you're going to find on Netflix this summer, just in case anybody's wondering.
No kidding. Thanks to Jacob running the board for me this afternoon. We've got a tornado watch in Kenosha County. Again, a tornado watch in Kenosha County. We've had some severe weather in many spots across the state this afternoon. Folks, please be aware, be safe. Don't take any risks while you're out there. We got one of our longtime listeners on the line. Carmelo from Milwaukee, say hi to Jamie. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Very well. I wanted to ask, kind of along the vein of what you were talking about with Patel and Bondi, Maggie, you had admitted that, you know, maybe you've heard like an employee or someone under you speaking ill of you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like held on to a personal little, like maybe like a sneer, like every time you had to deal with them?
Yeah, this is a great question, Carmela, because I have always tried, especially when I grew into leadership positions, I tried very hard to not take that kind of stuff personally and try to find the kernel of what I thought was an accurate, if poorly packaged, criticism. Like, hey, what's my opportunity to do a little better here? I do not hold grudges. I don't forget stuff. I mean, I will remember, if I'm being really honest, I remember folks that back-channeled things or didn't come to me directly and just straight up tell me to my face, I disagree, I think you're totally off base, or I need you to do more of this or less of this. Because I would rather someone do that than sort of whisper campaign and going around my back. But even folks, if they hold an held an objection to my decision making or whatever it was as a leader of a department, if they felt that in good faith and they brought that in whatever way to light, my opportunity as a leader is in that moment to humbly try to take from that what is the thing that I should be doing better. I might not agree with the entirety of the criticism, but usually there's something in there that is worthy of my deep self-reflection and, frankly, a commitment to try to do a little better. To me, those are the opportunities where leaders actually can show some leadership and to try to do better. And again, not taking all this stuff personally. It's hard if someone's criticizing you, if it's hard if somebody's talking behind your back. But though that's the difference between children and adults, that adults care about the thing that we're doing, our shared purpose, our mission. Adults care about the results and the outcomes, and they will work past their personal feelings or, frankly, set them aside where appropriate to ensure that the mission of the organization and what you're doing is and always remains front and center. I can tell you this, that is so vastly more important in the public sector than anybody could ever imagine. If you can envision my intolerance for people making it about themselves, of elevating their self-interest over an entity's mission or objective in general life, you can only imagine how ticked off I would get if people wanted to make the business of public service about them instead of the public. You're a civil servant. You are a public servant, meaning you serve. You don't center yourself. And I think it's high time that elected officials, especially in the Donald Trump and folks from the MAGA movement, remind themselves that they are there to serve others and not to have others serve them and their individual personal interests. I think, again, ego and self-interest, it can explain, unfortunately, vast swaths of what we see going wrong these days with MAGA and elected officials writ large. Jamie, I know you've led teams. What are your thoughts on taking and receiving criticism or hearing back-channeled whispering negativities about folks?
You know this about me. I don't do the back channel. That is not something that I would rather be direct. I would rather be honest. I would rather have those conversations and work it out and go from there. We've owned our own business. I've never done public service. That's not where I've always ever been, but we've owned our own business and a very small business. And so being able to, I want to say, put out maybe those fires. And when I mean fires, you know, just the smoke that starts to arise a little bit. I think that's, for us, was always incredibly important. We had such a small staff that we couldn't risk having anybody with any sort of angst or any sort of anger or anybody who was upset, because we were trying to make small town radio happen at warp speed. And you have to have everybody on the same page to do that. And we were always just very, my husband and I, let's just be honest with one another. If we did something to upset you, please tell us. We would rather know that than everybody just pins and needles. I don't do that.
Nobody
I
wants
get very
to do
awkward
it.
And uncomfortable in that.
I'll say this one last thing on this general point. I think there is so much to be gained when someone is willing to hear that kind of direct criticism or even indirectly. And what everybody that has ever worked with me or for me knows is I will show up for that. I will be here through that. I'll be here after that, because the thing, the mission, is more important than I am. Folks, when we come back, we're going to turn the page into a little bit of what's good, local, and overlooked with one of our favorite guests on the Maggie Dawn Show, my friend and yours, Terry Barr. Don't miss it. Keep it locked.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive, and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county Veterans Service Officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Message sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, happy Friday. We finally got there. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got one of my most favorite segments of every week. We've been on kind of a hiatus, so it's really nice to get back on the saddle again with my friend and yours, Terry Barr, for What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry.
Hey, Maggie. Sorry I had to go to the phone with this. Obviously, we have some thunderstorm warnings across the various areas of the state. And I was so excited because on our video stream, I was going to show you I'm wearing my Bob Uecker microphone shirt because I saw you have your Brewers shirt on for tonight.
Oh, thanks so much, Terry. I'm geared up for this game. We got the Cubs Cubs facing off against the Yankees. Brewers got the Nationals. We gave away some tickets for Sunday's game on the show earlier. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Brewers only two games back. Hopefully by Sunday we'll sit atop the division. I appreciate the love on the Bob Uecker Mike shirt as well. That's always good fun. I love me some Uecker merch.
Oh, me too. I proudly wear this. You know, I'm going to get into what I think is a good story, maybe a little overlooked, especially to people in Wisconsin. And since life seems to be a bit of a circus these days, it feels like talking about Wisconsin's circus history is perfect right now. So Circus World, as many people probably know, is on the 64-acre property in Baraboo, and it was once home to the Ringling Brothers Circus. No kidding. It was an luckily remains in Wisconsin. Now, it really is a surprising, important part of our state's history. And here's the museum's curator of history telling me more. Her name is Jennifer Kronk.
Our museum is located in the original winter quarters of the Ringling Brothers Circus. Ringling Brothers started their circus out of Baraboo in the 1880s because these brothers were living here in Baraboo when they got it in their heads that they wanted to start a circus. You know, some of them have done some performing. They started a circus, and beginning in 1886, they decided, well, we need a place to come back and, you know, work on our show every year, because circuses would go out in the spring. They would travel all summer long into the fall. And then come winter time, they would go back to a home base to paint the wagons and work on what the show was going to be the next year and stuff like that. And so the Ringlings did that in Baraboo along the Baraboo River. And they were here until 1918. They built dozens of buildings during that time. So they would come back here, and this is where they housed their elephants and their horses in the 1890s, early 1900s. People could look out their window and see the elephants taking a walk down the street.
Isn't that fun?
Elephants walking down the street. Boy, that'd be the day. Although I did see a loose cow the other day in a very unusual place. It was in like a subdivision, and I'm driving around. I'm like, is there like an Amber Alert for your lost cow? I don't know. What do you do with that? I didn't see any brand. I didn't know what to do about that. It's not really an animal control thing, is it? Who knows?
No. Well, you know, and I grew up on a dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, and I just remember if there were any cows loose, everybody showed up to chase them home. So I don't know what you would do if one was in a subdivision somewhere. But I wanted to tell you one really cool thing at the Circus Museum right now in Baraboo. They have on display the only circus bell wagon that is left in the entire world. It is at the museum. You can see it. It's a piece of art. It is gorgeous, and it has all these huge bells. And these are the kind of wagons that used to lead the circus parade through towns when they used to do it. It is just gorgeous, and it's hard to think that's the only one left. So
yeah, that's,
if you're interested in it, go see it. Go check it out while it's still here. There's also a library. I love this. And a circus research center on the property if you really want to dig into the history of the circus, not only in Wisconsin, but around the world.
So one of my most treasured childhood memories was, ooh, I was quite young. If it's been a while since the literal circus parade came through downtown Milwaukee, but I went with my parents a few years in a row, and it's sort of like hearkening back to that time. Back then, there was very few people who were talking about, I don't know, the political challenge of talking about circuses and treatment of animals.
Right.
It was just my child brain looking at all these amazing animals and all these amazing train cars and moving cars and all these beautiful decorations. And I just remember being like so excited to go watch the circus parade. And the couple of times that I actually saw a circus when I was a kid, it was magical. And I think, again, that Circus Parade Museum in Baraboo, Terry?
Mm-hmm. It is in Baraboo, on the old property where the Ringling Brothers actually used to set up and perform and then take off for the entire summer across the country. Amazing history here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jim from Brookfield shares this wonderment with me. Why would anyone ever put their circus base in a cold weather climate? Didn't the elephants get cold? Who knows? Happy weekend to you, Terry, and happy weekend to each and every one of you. Thanks for sharing some of your Friday with me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, President Trump surveyed some of the destruction caused by flash flooding 1 week ago. 121 were killed, 160 still missing. Questions remain over the lack of local warning systems. ABC's Selena Wang says FEMA maps also did not indicate the severity of risk in some areas compared to insurance maps.
This isn't just a problem for Texas, but this is an issue nationwide. For instance, with Hurricane Helene and the aftermath in North Carolina, 95% of the homes were not in the FEMA flood zone and lacked flood insurance. Nationwide, FEMA maps do not take into account the impact of torrential rain and how that can cause inland flooding.
Military shipments have resumed for Ukraine after a brief pause. Officials say U.S. military and NATO officials now discussing a plan to provide Ukraine with much-needed aerial defense weapons, including Patriot systems, funneling it through the European alliance. And parts of Pennsylvania dealing with intermittent 911 outages today. This is ABC News.